Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Betches Media presents the Betches Brides Podcast, a show for the wedding obsessed and the brides who are stressed, because after all, it's only one day of your life.
Hello and welcome to Betches Brides. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I'm Nicole Pellegrino.
And we are back. What is new with you? What's going on with your wedding planning?
You know, I always say this each week. Not much. Not much has changed since last week. I am finding new motivation every day to plan. I'm getting more excited. It's just funny because I feel like sometimes I forget I'm engaged still because I have been engaged for so long at this point. So I forget I'm a bride. But you know, I'm planning, I'm looking at stuff. I'm looking at getting a cool jean jacket that says wifey on the back, all the fun, exciting bridal things that I frankly deserve. What about you?
For sure. That's awesome. That's exciting. So I sent out my save the dates, and, a new fun little plot twist is they're now requiring, I'm not sure how long this will be, but they're now requiring anyone who comes back to the United States from a different country to have a COVID test. So to have a COVID test, I think within 3 days of them coming back. So at first that was like making me a little anxious, but now I see, like, it's funny that the hotels have like adapted really quickly to that, and they all now really offer on-site tests, which, and like for anyone who's staying at them at all the hotels in Mexico that I've seen are like now offering this service where you can get tested at the resort and get it like the results within like 12 hours.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, so now I'm kind of like almost more into it, because now I'm like, they can get that, everyone can get tested at the venue before the wedding, like easily.
Oh, that's amazing.
And then they can also use that to travel back. So it'll make everyone kind of feel a little bit more peace of mind, assuming no one has it, which hopefully that would be like a whole other issue.
So interesting how they're adapting like that. Like the wedding industry. Cool.
Yeah, they're so fast. I mean, not even for the wedding. I think it's just for travel too. Like not just for the wedding, but like for anyone. And obviously my wedding's not till the end of November, so we'll see if that's still a thing there. But it definitely made me feel like pretty like confident and happy with like the venue choices I made, that they're moving so quick, and they're, you know, everything is like, they have everything set up to like make sure everything's still running smoothly. So that was a weird little wrench, which I actually am fine with.
Props to the vendors like that, who, cause I mean, it's a hit or miss. Like I've heard horror stories about vendors, or I've heard vendors like that that are quickly adapting and changing, and that are working with their guests to make sure their weddings can happen in a safe way. So that's amazing. I mean, and I know I feel bad that you have to still say like, oh, let's see if November happens. I'm the same way about September. I was talking to Kelsey, one of our Betches brides yesterday, who she got married, but this year, back in 2020, she got married and then was planning the bigger party for this year. But it's so interesting now because I'm seeing that that's the majority of like our audience, for example, on Betches Brides, are doing that. They got married in 2020 and with the hopes to have the big party, like real wedding celebration this year, but they're still like, do I postpone my wedding? Like do I postpone again that celebration? Yeah. They're like, I'm already married. So like, what's the point of like postponing the larger party? Like, so it's this weird, all in all, like this weird time where like, we're all still
not really sure how things are going to, hopefully there'll be like a pretty more wide, like a more widespread vaccine rollout that will give us a better sense of like when everyone will actually be vaccinated. I don't think we'll know that for like a few months, like how fast we can really get this moving.
Yeah.
So we'll
see.
They
just announced, I think, that people 65 and older, like the general public 65 and older, because obviously they opened it up to healthcare workers first and stuff. But I think 65 and older.
And that makes me feel now, which is awesome. Good too, because those are the most at-risk people. So it's like anyone's parents at a wedding will be like at least that much more protected. And we also have some new 2021 bride merch out, right?
Oh, we do. We have a crew neck. I've been really into crew necks. So I was like, Barry, to our merch manager, I was like, you better make a crew neck. And it says 2021 bride. So it's for you Corona brides who had to postpone, or you people who got engaged in 2020 and are planning for 2021. And guess what? It's a great way to manifest that your wedding will happen in 2021. And it's so comfortable. It's so soft. It's like white with cute, simple, subtle black writing. Get it at betches.co/bridesmerch.
That's great.
Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. So Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you can get your choice of any six styles. You choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. There are no parameters. You get access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees. There's no late fees, no damage fees, no fees to pause or cancel. So no big deal if you like lose a button. Uh-oh, I spilled something on it. Or you just need to take a break. They have inclusive sizing all the way up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. You always have the option to buy what you love for sometimes up to 75% off. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles. But right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code BRIDES20. Just go to NUULY.com. That's Nuuly with two U's, and enter the code BRIDES20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com. Nuuly with two U's with code BRIDES20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Let's get into this week's emails. By the way, if you have an email for us, if you have a question, if you have a thought, if you have a suggestion, email brides@betches.com. That's brides@betches.com. And we love answering these. So let's get into it. I can read the first one.
Awesome. Go into it.
She writes, "Hey, Betches, I'm a relative newbie to your podcast, but I've been following your Instagram page since I got engaged back in August. I'm hoping you might be able to offer some advice about families pitching in for my fiance and my wedding. Me and my fiance's parents are all either divorced or in the process of being divorced. My dad has generously offered to contribute a large amount for wedding expenses. To ease the financial burden on him, my mom and my fiance's dad have offered to contribute a smaller amount to go towards my dress and the rehearsal dinner, respectively. When it comes to his mom, however, I'm finding myself in a bit of a battle. When we first got engaged, the first thing out of her mouth in our first one-on-one conversation was, 'I'm assuming your dad is paying for the wedding, right?' Even with my fiance informing her that all the other parents were contributing what they were able to and asking her to do the same, she's refused. She's even acted like driving down close to flying so that she could bring some of the beer we're hoping to serve at our reception was way too much to ask. My fiance and I have had way too many arguments over this, and although I'd love nothing more than to have a great relationship with my future mother-in-law, I'm finding it difficult to move forward in my personal relationship with her. I don't want to shut her out of the wedding plans because I know that she's excited, but part of me feels like telling her if she's not paying for anything, then she doesn't get to be involved with plans. I'm exhausted and completely at a loss. Do you have any advice on how to deal with a future mother-in-law or any parent in general who refuses to pitch in for the wedding? Thanks so much for your help. Have a happy and healthy new year."
This isn't the first time we've gotten a question similar to this about parents and the dynamics of who's paying for what kind of thing.
Yeah, I think everyone has their own opinions about who should be paying for what and how much people should contribute and how much for all that sure. stuff, right? It's like one of those things where there's no like strict guide. Right. There's like that old tradition, which I think is very outdated, where the bride's parents pay for things, but like, I don't Father really think that's bride. A thing anymore.
Yeah.
So I do think it becomes a question where there's no clear answer, where it kind of becomes like almost like a volunteer basis. What do you think?
For sure. That's the thing. And I mean, right off the bat, this mother-in-law, she said, so your dad's paying for the wedding, right? Like that's, she's establishing a boundary right off the bat. And in my opinion, that's a little weird to do, weird to say. I can see how this bride is like set aback by that comment, because that would make me mad too, frankly. Because nobody should ever just assume anybody's paying for the wedding. Even if I think we like deep down, we all assume obviously the wealthiest member of the parent group is going to like front the cost and stuff, but like nobody knows people's financial situations. I don't think anyone should assume anybody's paying. I remember you said, and I want to bring it back from a past episode, at one point you were like, this is a tough thing for some people to bear and come to terms with, but mm-hmm. really when you think about it, you shouldn't be having an event for yourself that you really couldn't pay for yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's like don't have a wedding that's more out of your own means. A lot of us are fortunate where like our parents are picking up the slack, so like you can have a wedding out of your means. But like good rule of thumb is just don't always like assume everybody else is going to pay.
Right. I think the thing is, it's like if someone's paying, you want them to do it out of the goodness of their heart because they really want to pay, right? You don't want to be having to like strong arm someone into paying for something that they don't want to pay, because it doesn't feel good.
Exactly.
It doesn't feel good to get for someone to pay for a wedding and there's like strings attached, or that you have to do it their way, or that there's like, it changes boundaries or a balance of power or anything like that. Like, you don't want to have to feel like you're owing someone something. You want, if I think it's great when parents contribute, but if they're only contributing so that they can, you know, control the wedding, or they can do something, or so that they can control right. you in some way, I don't think it's worth it. I do think it's right. great to take, there are some parents who give money and they just want you to be happy and they just want to help. And I think that that's great if they can. I mean, and again, assuming they can afford it, weddings are very expensive and not everyone can afford it. But I think if you can afford it and you can give, the most loving thing a parent can do is that they're just giving it as like a way mm-hmm. to make your life easier, as a way to, you know, help ease a burden on you, and because they want you to have a great wedding, not because it has anything to do with them or, and I don't think that's that common, to be honest. I think yeah. a lot of parents have like alternate reasons for giving money that are not just like, let me help you out. But I do think it's great when it is. But for this person, I would say like, whatever her reasons are, her fiance's mom like isn't, or is either unwilling or unable to contribute, and doesn't really feel like she wants to be involved in financially in this wedding. Fine. I would just accept that. I wouldn't like fight with your fiance about that. There's nothing he can do to control that. That's just like, you know, that's the card that he was dealt. I don't think
and
that's
like you his- said, like if they were to push her, let's say like she talked to the fiance and said like, look, your mom needs to like offer something and contribute. And the fiance went back to the mom and the fiance asked the mom. Then like, and let's say she really did after all of that, then it's like you're making her pay for your wedding. Like then you wouldn't feel good about that. Like you wouldn't feel good about her contributing because it was a forced contribution.
Right. Like, and then she would probably feel entitled to a lot more say over a lot more things. And like, I do think that comes with it too. But if I were you, I would just be like I would just say, okay, like I'm just not counting that person as contributing. Other people are. And those people hopefully are like, you know, generously, again, just want to help you make a great wedding. And like, that should be the reason someone contributes. So if it's not going to, it doesn't feel like that's something that's going to come along with their contribution, is just like a sort of selfless, generous sense of like wanting to help you, then don't take it. It's not worth it. It's not worth dealing with that person and like, you know what I mean, trying to extract money. Right. Like how much is she really doing that it's going to make it worth this like fight and all this exhaustion exactly. and pain from like dealing with this person? Just accept that that's the kind of person she is as it relates to this wedding. Just like accept that. and then plan with plan a smaller wedding with the smaller budget that you have and not counting on this money. Or if she at some point changes her mind, then maybe you'll have something extra. But it's kind of like, I don't really see why it would be additive to have someone who doesn't want to be paying for something that you probably could figure out a way to do without.
Exactly. I would try to focus on the positives that you do have people who are generously, like, happily donating, like your own father and whoever else, but that, you know, there's nothing you can do. And as for the relationship going forward with her, like, you know, I'm sure you'll be a little annoyed with her forever and probably not forget this generosity, but I would also just try to not resent her too much for this, because again, like, there's a reason she's not generously giving. She might not have the financial means to have whatever the situation may be. I would just try not to, like, hold that resentment in too much, because then that will just affect your whole, like, view of her. She's your mother-in-law for your whole marriage. So it's like, I don't know. I would just kind of, like you said, look at the positives and plan the wedding you want with what you have.
Yeah, everyone has dealt certain parents who have certain ideas and decisions and thoughts about how they want to do things, and they're not really going to change that. So just accept that's who she is. That's what she's doing. And I mean, I agree, like, she doesn't have to do this. Like, she's like, oh, your father makes a lot more money, and so, like, why would I burden myself? Why would I strain myself more to do this if he does? I don't know what her reasonings are, but it's kind of like, if that's her thought on it, then, like, that's her thought on it. Like, it's not really worth the debate. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And just let it go.
This next segment is sponsored by Jen Tux, called The Perfect Fit. And the theme of it is, how can I fit the perfect number of people into my bridal party? So it's time for The Perfect Fit segment, brought to you by Generation Tux. Getting the perfect fit for your fiance and groomsmen can be overwhelming and, for some, including myself, totally foreign. That's why Generation Tux makes it simple and painless, so you can do everything online from the comfort of your own home, which we love these days especially. And as a bride, we all know how hard it can be to get everything to fit into your vision for the perfect wedding. So here's the perfect fit question of the week, brought to you by Generation Tux. How can I fit the perfect number of people into my bridal party? All right, so this one, it's kind of a two-parter, so bear with us here. It says, hi, Jordana and Nicole. I love listening to your podcast. I have two questions, both about the bridal party. Our wedding isn't over for over 2 years because we are just really trying to avoid COVID and have no rush. The day we got engaged, my fiance's sister would not stop asking if she could be a groomsman. She knows we aren't close and probably would have a lesser chance of being a bridesmaid. So she wanted to be the brother's groomsman. My fiance immediately said no because he did not envision a girl on his side. His family took that as us not wanting to include her at all in the wedding and basically said they were disowning him from the family. After explaining the miscommunication, we told them we still want her involved in other roles, but just not in the bridal party. She has had some previous issues where she created drama to be the center of attention, feeling isolated and having depression. We said that as a bridesmaid, she wouldn't know anyone else that are my bridesmaids, and she would end up feeling more isolated because they all know each other and she would feel left out. They understood, but now they want all answers as to what her role will be. I tried reminding them the wedding is over 2 years away and things could change. We aren't telling the bridal party who they are for at least another year. Oh, so they're not asking the bridal party. Therefore, we won't tell her the roles until that far away too. I've barely been to any weddings. What are some of the roles we could give her? We're not having a traditional church wedding and a friend will be the officiant. I thought possibly walking our dogs down the aisle. I'm afraid of making her an honorary bridesmaid because I don't want to invite her to the bachelorette party due to her feeling isolated and making it about her and not me. Plus, she says she's allergic to alcohol, so she would complain the whole time. Okay, let's do that one first quickly because it's kind of a two-parter, but it's all about fitting into this bridal party.
I don't really see the issue with having her in the bridal party. It seems like a little mean to not have her in, to be totally honest. Like, even though you're not that close, it's kind of like she is your your fiance's sister, and it seems like it would make her really happy. And like, I don't really think your bridesmaids have to be like the absolute closest people to you. Like, some of it is like a little symbolic, like you want to like honor people in your family. So I kind of have to take the fiance's sister. I mean, also, like, it's not like making it about her. Like, what is she gonna do? Like, also, it seems like she's just gonna be like getting ready with you. Like, there's not that much involved in being a bridesmaid that this person's gonna like be able to like ruin the whole thing just because they're walking down the aisle or standing with you. And it seems like if you're saying she has issues with feeling isolated and having depression, like, if you care about your fiance's family, like, wouldn't that make you want to include her more? Like, I can imagine being left out of a bridal party would make someone feel more isolated and potentially more depressed. And like, it seems like to me, it seems like adding an extra bridesmaid is such a small extra thing. Like, it's more about them having to do stuff than you having to do stuff. Like, they just have to wear a certain dress color. Like, yeah, I get she's like, I don't really want to invite her to the bridal party. I think you can establish that separately, where you're like, I think there's going to be a lot of drinking. I don't want you to feel uncomfortable, and like, maybe not invite her in that way, in a way that is in tune and compassionate about her feelings and her struggles, rather than like, I don't want you to ruin this day for me, which I get is a valid thing. It's like, I don't want to have to deal with you. But like, that's kind of what marrying into a family is about. It's like, someone's family things are things that you have to deal with, and you kind of like, it is your wedding, but I do think you have to consider like your fiance's family and making them, just because it's your wedding doesn't mean you have the right to like kind of make people feel really shitty or isolated, or that you shouldn't do what you can just that because you love your fiance to make his sister, who obviously has some of her own issues, like make her feel included, make her feel like she's part of something. If that's the first thing she said, she clearly just wants to be like noticed by you and wants to feel like you care about her and that she's involved in some way.
I agree. It's like, how much destruction can this girl do in the bridal party? It seems like, to me, it's like, just include her, even if you're not a huge fan of her for things she might have done or said in the past. Like, just include her, because honestly, it seems like it would cause more of a problem to not than her causing a problem if she were in it. And like you said, like, you don't have to, you can make your bridesmaids as involved with each other as you want or not at all. Like, a lot of people create a whole like group text for the bridesmaids leading up to a wedding, so you can like get to know each other more, or like talk about stuff. You really don't have to do that. Or you could just have a group text with your friends, and like, she doesn't have to be in it, but she's still a bridesmaid. You can just reach out to her when you need her to get the dress and when you need to coordinate things like that with her. But like, I think if I were this girl, I would just let her be a bridesmaid, talk to her when I need to, that kind of thing. Like, that way she feels included. And
I agree. It sounds like she would really appreciate it. You know what I mean? It sounds like something that would make her really happy. And to me, like, the benefit of making someone really happy who has issues with feeling isolated and depressed is probably so much greater for her than the loss to you of like having to include someone else. And I think, especially because you're gonna be married into this family, like, it'll just make your relationship a lot better and easier in the future. But if she really doesn't want to make her a bridesmaid, I don't know, what else do you think she could assign her to do? She's really dead set on like, because her second question is about, I guess, making the bridal party smaller. So
yeah,
if she's like, I cannot go above this number, what do you think she should do?
Yeah, then, I mean, the walking the dogs down the aisle, that's anything involved in the ceremony you can do. And I know she's not doing like a traditional church wedding. If there is any readings involved in or any kind of ceremonial things like that, have her do that. I know a lot of people, if they have like young flower girls or ring bearers, that's something you walk them down the aisle. This case, her dogs, I think that's a great role. I know there's both female and male ushers in weddings, and that's a role I see given, like, you're helping get people to their seats at the beginning of the ceremony. Other than that, I think just anything with the ceremony. I can't really think of anything in the reception that, like,
or maybe at the rehearsal dinner. I don't know. She could do something at the rehearsal dinner, like
handout programs.
I don't know. I mean, like, you could get creative. I'm sure there's like a bunch of little things, but I think the easiest thing was to make the easiest thing is to make someone a bridesmaid and then they can just like walk down and that's like their whole thing. And it's not weird. She's like his sister. So I don't.
Yeah. That's almost giving them less of a responsibility. Like if you're giving a, like still a reading is like a responsibility and like you're still an important member of the family if you're doing a reading or like.
I think everyone will expect her to be a bridesmaid. It won't be like, it'll be weirder that she's not a bridesmaid than if she is, right? I feel like the siblings of people are always usually in the bridal party.
Yeah.
I think but just let's get to the second question because it's about cutting the bridal party. So,
yes. All right. This one says, my second question, the number one thing my fiance and I fight about is the bridal party. We can see that. We obviously haven't decided anything officially, but I have 6 to 7 girls in mind and he only has 5 and I don't see him adding any more based on his current friendships. He is adamant that the sides have to be even because it will throw off the look and pictures. I told him you aren't framing the pictures of the whole bridal party and the photographer will be taking photos of us at the altar and not everyone. He said everyone at the ceremony will notice it is uneven. To me, I just don't understand his logic. I don't think it's a big deal. I'm having trouble cutting more bridesmaids than that unless I just have 2 because the rest are all friends from college that are equivalent in closeness with me. But I always wanted more than 2. What should I tell him to see where I'm coming from? Or should I just give in and somehow cut mine to have 5? So she, long story short, she wants to have her 6 to 7 girls and he only has 5 and he's very adamant about it being even.
I think that's odd. I've never heard of a groom who like really cares about the evenness of the bridal party. To me, it might be about something else. Like, unless it's
an insecurity thing.
Right. Is he really worried about the pictures? Like, and what people at the wedding think about the unevenness? Like, to me, I wouldn't even think about it if there was an uneven bridal party, right? It would be like the last thing I would be thinking of.
This is a common thing that there are uneven. This is about to happen in mine. This happens in a lot of people.
What are the chances that you and your fiance both have an exactly equal amount of people that you want to include in your bridal party? Like, to me, it's almost weirder when it's even. Like, it's kind of like, how could that happen?
And then it like causes weird fights in the friendships because you're like, I couldn't put my best friend Sarah in because she was the 7th one and we're only doing 6th. And then it's like you literally had to like do something you didn't want to do, which is like not put somebody in because just to match this number.
To me, if we're thinking about the meaning of like bridesmaids and the meaning of like honoring people with these roles, it's like so that you can show them that you're important to them, which to me seems like a much bigger deal than like uneven photos, which again, no one cares about, or frames, or the guests thinking it's weird that it's uneven. Also
the
strange
thing about the photos too, photographers are, and like play this for your fiance if you want. The photographers are like pros at this. They deal with this all the time. And I can guarantee you this, nobody's thinking about this as much as you are. Like when you do have an uneven number, like no one cares. But if you're still worried that people care, photographers are pros at literally positioning you in the photos to make it look more even. It's not like they'll have you all standing in an even line with like a very clear visual distinction of how many people. Like I wouldn't worry, and nobody cares about the whole bridal party photos. Like nobody even posts those. I don't think.
Yeah, that's odd. That's odd to me in that way. I would also say to your fiance, like, listen, like it is more important for me to maintain these friendships of mine and to like include these people that I really value in my life than to have even wedding photos. Like I would imagine you would want that for me, that you would want me to be able to like include the people that I want to include and make them feel like special in this wedding party more than we would want these, more than we're worried about these uneven photos, which again, I think we can fix and do all that stuff. Like to me, that's really meaningful. I would hope that you could like understand why it's so meaningful to me.
Right. Exactly.
And if he's still pushing back, I would try to get to like the real root of like what his thought is. Is he like a perfectionist? Is he looking for the perfect fit? Because we have a generation, we have a tux company for him if he is. But I do think like, I would imagine it's about something else and not about that, because that just, it just seems odd to me. But like, maybe it is, maybe he really is into like visually aesthetic photos and really cares what the guests think about the number being the bridal party. It would be surprising to me if that was the case. So I would just be like, what is the real issue here?
Right.
But that's it for this week's, that's it for this week's Perfect Fit, brought to you by Generation Tux. Generation Tux specializes in online suit and tuxedo rentals delivered directly to your door. With over 20 styles of suits and tuxedos and hundreds of accessory colors, Generation Tux has everything your groom and groomsmen need to get the perfect fit. They provide free at-home try-ons to make sure you're getting the best fit possible, and their groomsmen management system ensures your guys get fitted and order their garments on time. You can try Generation Tux and their award-winning customer service for yourself by going to generationtux.com. Visit to build your look and get started today. That's GENERATIONTUX.com. Should we do another email, Nicole?
Let's do it. This one I'm so excited about.
Let's do one more. All right. I will read it. This is our happily ever after segment. If you have any kind of relationship issue or issues with a potential fiance, your current fiance, your husband, you've been married for 20 years, we want to know about it. Email us at brides@betches.com and we will answer it on the podcast, hopefully, unless yours doesn't get chosen. Hello. Reaching out with a question for your happily ever after segment. I've been with my fiance for over 10 years. We're both in our mid-30s. I waited year after year for him to propose, and which he finally did in year 8 after most other couples we knew who had been together for a fraction of the time had gotten engaged, married, and started families. I know life isn't a race, but it feels like we are so behind everyone else, and all of my friends' husbands managed to get their shit together before my guy could. I have been incredibly resentful about this, and the saving grace was that our wedding day was finally coming so I could put this all behind us and move forward. We were set to wed in June 2020 and had to postpone due to COVID. We were scheduled for mid-July, but of course that is up in the air. I feel robbed and carry so much resentment for his extremely delayed proposal. He claims he was saving up and wanted to be better situated financially before proposing, but I more so think it's him being incapable of making a decision without me pushing for it. I'm really trying to not to allow all of these events to taint the way I see him and my love for him, but I blame him for being partially responsible for delaying this huge event in my life and that is so important to me and just stalling things to such a degree. It's like he selfishly thought we had all the time in the world and absolutely took me for granted. We are in weekly couples therapy, but I can't seem to let this resentment and anger toward him go. Would love some advice.
So the main thing that stuck out to me in this email, look, this is me speaking to you, bride, who wrote this in. I don't feel your pain because I'm not in your same situation, but you do have a right to be up to feel how you feel. However, you've got to keep in mind COVID is out of anybody's control. So you really can't let that taint your perspective and like build up this resentment you're feeling towards your fiance, because I see what you're saying. Like, yes, he took forever to propose and that's very annoying, but that's in the past. You are where you are now. You're even more mad because now COVID's pushing off the wedding. You can't let that make you mad at your fiance because COVID's not his fault. And I think there's other ways. Like, if you wanted to still get married, if you sound like you are ready for that and he is too at this point, you can do the thing that a lot of brides are doing: have the wedding and then wait to celebrate with a larger amount of people later when it's safe. I just think that if you keep having this resentment towards him, it's just going to spiral and it's just going to make you, it's not going to do good things for your relationship. What are your thoughts?
I definitely agree with that. I understand why she's like frustrated, right? She's frustrated because she wanted to be married by now. She saw herself as being married by now. I was frustrated with my boyfriend who I'd only been dating for 3 years that it took him that long to propose. So I can see where she's like, has that feeling of frustration. However, I think by being, these are two different things, right? She seems like she's really resentful about the 8 years dating, no ring thing. That's like the main thing that she's resentful for, because that's the thing that she feels like he did have control over. However, I think to be resentful over that takes away all of your agency and all of your decision-making. You had a right in any of those 8 years to say, I want to be married, or I'm going to find someone who also wants to be married. I don't think that you can be mad at someone for not doing something that you want when they're in the time that they're ready. I think the financial stability and saving up for a ring thing is actually like a solid, if that's true, then that's a solid reason to wait, to feel like you can, weddings are expensive, to be able to be afford being married, to be able to afford to start a life together is like a real thing. But I also think that you at any point during that relationship would, which I had thought about doing too. If like, I mean, I wanted to probably get engaged like 2 years after dating, and Mike wasn't ready. And I remember being like, okay, I'm going to give him like this amount of time. And then if he's not ready by this certain amount of time, like I'm a certain age and I want to be married, and I'm going to find someone who wants to be married. So I think by putting it all on him, you're taking away any power you had in like making this decision or finding someone who wanted to get married earlier. Like, I don't think this is, I think it's easier to put the blame on someone else, but you also have power in that situation. And then the COVID thing, that just sucks. That's like a thing that happened in the world that no one could control, definitely not him. And like you said, Nicole, like you can still get married if starting a family or being a certain age is an issue. You can still do all that. There's no rule book that says that you have to have this big party in order to do that. But I do think I think it's great that you're in therapy, because it sounds like this resentment is like a very like building thing. And I understand like why in some ways she has it, but I think she also has to internalize that and take some of the responsibility for the fact that she's not married yet. Because again, like, she's a free agent. Like, at any point she could have said, I want to be married. I'm going to find someone who does want to be married. And she waited for him. And I think that he sounds like he's like, there's nothing wrong with him, and they could have a really happy life. But if she doesn't let that go or take some sense of like, I'm the one who also decided to stay in this despite not getting what I wanted for so long, like, I think that'll help ease the resentment, because it'll be like, this wasn't just you saying yes or no. Like, I had the ability to leave if I didn't like the situation also.
Right, right. Yeah. And I think like moving forward for their relationship, it's going to be even more important to like set those expectations. Like you were saying, like it's so important. I don't believe in when people are like, no, don't give ultimatums in the relationship. It's like, no, it's not a steadfast ultimatum, but it's still just like telling them what your expectations are, and they're valid expectations. If you're at the point where you want to get engaged and be married, you have every right to tell your partner that.
Yeah. And I think ultimatums get a terrible rap because they sound like they're terrible, but all an ultimatum is you saying, this is what I want. If this isn't what you want, then I'm going to find someone who also wants what I want. And if you're not, or if you're not willing to give me what I want, it's like anything in a relationship. I think they get such a bad rap because everything is so romanticized and so like glorified in this like romantic setting. But really all it is you saying like, this is what's important to me. If you can't meet me there or give me a time frame for when you're going to meet me there that I can get on board with, then I'm going to find someone who can. And I think it's really, I think they're very empowering in that way. And I'm not saying she should have done that. It sounds like he did eventually come along, and maybe it was like late for you, but you kind of have to, again, take responsibility for your decision to stay.
Right. And I would really work on like that open communication moving forward and setting expectations to make sure you guys are on the same page and want the same things, because this only gets like, I don't, like even just like talking about where you want to kind of like settle down and live and where
right what wanna... age you want kids any
exactly
of that stuff. Yeah.
Like start talking about that now and set expectations and be on the same timeline for that kind of stuff, so that you, because again, if you don't, you're going to keep having resentment, you're going to keep feeling like this. And just know, like, you can set expectations, you can plan, but I think we've all learned within the past year, your plans might go by the wayside. And I think she said she's feeling robbed at one point. Like, if it makes you feel better, everyone's feeling robbed this year. Like,
right. That's not her fiance's fault. He didn't bring the virus over. Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone's feeling robbed. COVID literally robbed all of our lives and our weddings. So if it makes you feel better, you're not alone in feeling robbed. But I think all you can do is really focus on the present and the future and what you can do, and yeah, kind of stop harboring the resentment from the past.
Exactly. Focus on the things that you can control. You can get married if you if you truly want to right now. You can, you know, you can work on improving your relationship, which it sounds like you're doing. And yeah, I would just try to keep that in mind when you're getting. It's easier to place anger on someone else. You can't really, like, COVID isn't a person. You can't, like, yell at it. You can't, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
push your, like, emotions onto it. So it's sometimes it's easier to blame someone that, like, is in your life that, like, by proxy kind of feels like they're the one to blame. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's a very common thing for someone to take their anger out on someone, but it sounds like you're doing that to him and it doesn't really seem very fair to me.
Yeah, I find myself doing that to Mike all the time, like with little things, like literally I'll like, it'll be cold in our apartment and I'll like blame him for not turning the heat on. And it truly, like, you can't, it's just easy to blame people. And when he's the only one around, it's easy to blame him.
Right. But I'm sure you recognize it's like, it's a really, that's, I've done that too. It's like, it's a really bad way to express your frustration and your anger because it's really bad for your relationship. So I think that that's great that you're working on it in therapy. This person
for
and,
sure.
And maybe you. Anyway, for that's sure. our episode. I hope I hope we helped you guys. If you have, again, if you have a question that you want to email in, brides@betches.com. That's brides@betches.com. And we'll be back next week.
Yes. Till death do us part.
There we go.
Sounded like a Kids Bop episode.
Betches.